Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Hello, Bride. We would like to invite you to Bride Fest 2015 at the Cornfield Revival Center in Columbia, Kentucky. Listen, this is a prophetic wedding between you and the Lord, where you commit your life 100% to the Lord, my body, mind, and soul. It's where you say your vows to the Lord that you will give Him everything just like He gave everything. And in this, you will be walking with other brides, men and women, people of like faith, that are making a full commitment to the Lord. It's kind of like a purity ball, but this is a prophetic statement to the Lord that you are with Him till the very end, till death brings us together. So this one is going to be on Saturday, June the 6th, and it is at 3 p.m., and the Cornfield Revival Center is actually hosting a reception following. So go on our website at www.wearethebride.us/bridefest. Okay, I look forward to seeing you there. Also, on our website, go to WATV-registration and register if your ministry would like to be highlighted on the broadcast, because we highlight ministries all over the world. It is our honor. We are all here to serve the King, and we're all on a mission from God. So we want to tell the world, what is your story? And then you have free reign to preach to the bride. Okay, so go on the website and register for that. Also, if you would like to subscribe on the website, you can be notified every time we book a speaker. And then when we do newsletters, you'll be notified about that as well. Now, also on our website, we do need donations to keep this radio station going, so there's a place on there for you to donate. Also, if you're interested in being a host or hostess for WATB Radio, we are accepting applications on the website. So far, I think we have about 6, and we need 4 more. We need 10 hostesses. Also, we're looking for intercessors. People that will intercede. We need people that are web designers, people that are graphic designers. So just go on our website and register there. Now, thank you for tuning in to WATB Radio. God bless you.
Hello, Bride. This is your host, Brian Christian from California. And I have today with me a special man of God, Mike Bell from Burlington, Kansas. How you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, we're excited to have you here, and we're really excited about what God is doing in your life and in your ministry and in your family. And we know, we realize that every ministry has a story where God took you from nothing and made you into something. Would you mind being transparent with the bride today and sharing just a little bit about your story?
Yeah, sure. I was raised in church. Yeah, my father was a minister and kind of had a little bit of a rebellious spirit about me. And when I was old enough to leave the nest and get out, I just ran as far away from God as possible. You know, did pretty much everything under the sun, just complete and total rebellion. Anyway, we don't have enough time to go over all my testimony, but it's just a miracle that we have a loving God up there that is rooting for us and waiting for us to come back home. I think it was age 30. I was going through a really bad divorce, and it was in a process of pretty much lost everything. And so I was looking for a vehicle. I needed a vehicle. So I got a hold of a guy by the name of Mike Skaggs in Ottawa, Kansas. And he sold me a car, but he told me that he wouldn't sell it to me for the price. All I had was just a small amount of money. And he told me that he would sell it to me for that amount if I went to his church. And so through some pulling of teeth, I would say, I went ahead and told him, I said, fine, I'll go to your stupid church, you know, if that's what's going to take to get your car. You know, I need a vehicle, so I'll go to your stupid church. And so, and I was told that it was a big church, so I didn't think that, I figured I can, you know, knowing enough about church, I figured I could slip in through the back, sit in the back pew, and as soon as the pastor says, everyone close your eyes and pray, I was going to slip out. And so I got a hold of my mother, who at that time was not in church either. Her and my father were divorced. And I called my mom and I said, listen, I have to go to this guy's stupid church because, you know, I promised him that I would do it. But I need you to come with me, and there's a free dinner in it. I'll take you out to eat afterwards.
There you go, free dinner.
And yeah, and so we went to the church, and it was. Can I say the name of the church?
Yeah.
It was Lenexa Christian Center, Pastor Mike Perkey's church, and
oh, yeah.
And I got in there, and as soon as the choir came out, I was always into music. Now I'm a worshiper. Now I love getting into the presence of God through anointed worship and the presence of God. But I was sitting there in the back, and all of a sudden the choir came out, and I started singing. And something, brother, I tell you what, the only way I can explain it is an energy hit me. And goosebumps, and my hair felt like it was standing on end. I mean, it was just,
wow.
it was a powerful encounter, and it freaked me out because my whole entire life in church, I'd never really fully had a full-blown encounter with God Almighty. So this was new. I looked over at my mom and she was in tears, and I said, what the heck is going on? And I didn't use those words, but I said, what's going on? And she says, Mike, this is God. You know, this is the presence of God. This is how it's supposed to be. And I'm going, oh, my Lord. And I tell you, Pastor Perkey couldn't shut up fast enough. I knew exactly. You know, sinners know what to do. People, if they've been around anybody in the church at one time or another, there's, you know, it's in us. We know what we need to do. So, I mean, I sprinted to the altar as soon as he was done. I sprinted to the altar. And the next 3 weeks, I went to the altar. Finally, there he has an assistant pastor, Pastor John. He called me up and he says, "Mike, you know, can I speak to you?" And I said, "Sure." This was after the third time of going up, and he goes, "Mike, you know, I've noticed that you've come forward to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This would be the third week now, brother." And I said, "Yes, sir." He goes, "You know, you don't have to come up every week." And I said, "Pastor John, you don't know what I've done. You have no clue what I've done. You know, I need to make sure that I'm clean. I need to make sure I'm good with God, you know." And he smiled, and I'll never forget this. He smiled and kind of grinned. He didn't laugh at me, but, you know, he was. And he says, "Brother," he goes, "it took the first time."
That's
praise
right.
God. It took
Amen.
The first time. And so, my ministry now is, I'm all about restoration. I'm all about these people that have been hurt in church, the ones that have been thrown and discarded. Christianity kind of, there's a lot of people out there. I'm not going to lump everybody into the same category, but there's a lot out there that have a religious spirit about them, and they shoot their wounded. You know, they discard the ones who've made mistakes, or they discard the people that have done, certain amount of things, because we tend to categorize our sin, but in the eyes of God, sin is sin. And so, my ministry is a restoration ministry. I'm all for getting the ones that's never been in church, that's never received Christ as their Lord and Savior. But, we need to stop picking and choosing who we call forward and who we anoint for service and who we
Amen.
Feel like should be behind the pulpit. And we should just go ahead and just start, start giving it to everybody. We're wasting a lot of blood right now. Let's just start appropriating all the blood and throwing it on everybody and getting everybody saved. And let's just worry about the rest when we get to heaven. So, as a whole, I submitted to the ministry there at Lenexa Christian Center. I wanted to be in the choir. So they make you go through a course. It takes a couple of months to go through, and you have to find out what they believe. And I thank God for that. I think that if you're going to be in a church, you better understand what they believe, because there's a lot of churches out there that let's just say that they're interesting, and you need to know what they believe, what the pastor believes, what's going to be taught, what's going to be preached. And so I went to that class and then submitted underneath Pastor Mary Perkey, Pastor Mike, very anointed woman of God, and how to get into the presence of God through the choir. I mean, it was just a building time. God never told me that I was going to be in the ministry. I thought that I could just hide in the back row of the choir and just, put my time in there and then go to heaven when it's time,
Sure.
Sometimes God doesn't tell us the whole thing, because if he'd have told me that then what I'm doing now, I probably would have ran the other direction. So a man by the name of Jim King, he has a mighty ministry out of Oklahoma. He came and preached at the church one Sunday, and he was talking about going to the Ukraine. Something in me was just leaping, and so I volunteered to go to a short-term missions to the Ukraine, and I was really crying out for the Holy Spirit. I was really wanting more of the experience that I read in the Book of Acts. And so when he asked for volunteers, I put my hand up and got to Russia, or I'm sorry, not Russia, but got to the Ukraine and was ministering, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost while I was praying for somebody. And I tell people all the time that I had to go all the way to the Ukraine to get filled with the Holy Ghost. But it was there that I saw my first healing that that I not through my hands, but through someone that was in the group, I saw the healing. I'm going, hey, you know, if you can have that, I want that, you know. So I really started pressing in for the gift of healing at that time. So, but short synopsis of everything is, you know, shortly thereafter, I was called into the evangelistic field. And then it's about eight years ago, I was called to be a pastor. And then February of 2015, God called me back into the evangelistic ministry. He told me, he goes, Mike, I need you to go back into the churches and show them my identity. And so that's where I'm.
Well, hey, Mike, let's take just a moment here and let's go ahead and let the people hear the bios that we had put together for you so they can hear a little bit more about that. So let's just take just a moment and listen to a little bit more about your life.
Okay.
Today our guest is Mike Bell from Topeka, Kansas. And here is the bio of Mike Bell. Bell Ministry was launched in January 1st, 2005 as the evangelistic ministry of Mike Bell. Mike, who is the founder of Bell Ministry, became a Christian in April of 2001 when he had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. Since that time, Mike has been passionately pursuing his call of seeing the kingdom of God forcefully advanced and the works of the devil destroyed through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In 2007, Mike had the privilege of meeting Oral Roberts at his home in Newport Beach, California. It was then that Oral laid hands on Mike and imparted the gift of healing into his ministry. Mike was mentored and discipled by Oral until he went home to be with the Lord in 2009. Mike had the privilege of preaching in the Ukraine and across the United States of America to thousands of people at churches, conferences, camp meetings, outreaches, door-to-door evangelism, tent revivals, and gospel crusades. In all these meetings, he has witnessed countless decisions and rededications for Jesus Christ. There has also been many healings that have taken place. Through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Mike has seen the deaf hear, the blind see, the crippled walk, cancers have disappeared without a trace, tumors have dissolved, diabetes and Parkinson's disease healed, and so much more for the glory of God. Mike was also pastor at House of Praise Community Church in Burlington, Kansas, from 2009 to 2014. Mike married his beautiful wife and partner in ministry, Megan. It was in February of 2014 that God spoke to Mike and called him back into the evangelistic field. God told Mike, I want you to bring my identity back into the church. Show this generation that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Raise up a remnant force to walk in my anointing and reach a hurting world through signs, wonders, and miracles. So today, Mike and Megan travel wherever God leads with a burning passion to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to ignite the church with a zeal to share their faith and see the power of the Holy Spirit demonstrated through signs, wonders, and miracles. So this is the story of revivalist Mike Bell of Bell Ministry in Topeka, Kansas.
Wow, I tell you, Mike, it is awesome to finally, you know, get to interview you. I know that you and I, we got to spend some time on the phone this last week, and it has just been, let's just put it this way, my life has been changed just by knowing you. You are a tremendous man of God. There is such a tremendous love of the Father that just flows out of you. And just so the bride can hear even just a little bit more about, you know, what was just shared in where God brought you. What is it that you would want to say right now to the bride out there in America. If you were to take the next 5 minutes and say, you know, hey, what is the future? What is God wanting to do? Whether it's a warning, whether it's an exhortation, what is God saying to the body of Christ and to the bride of America right now?
I want to make sure I'm very clear on this. I love the bride of Christ. And I was explaining this to a friend of mine because he says, he told me sometimes I'm a little bit too critical. But I explained it to him like this. I said, listen, if I was out and about and I saw your wife cheating on you, as a good friend, would I confront that and tell you about it, or would I just turn a blind eye? And he said, well, I hope you'd come and tell me. And I said, well, that's what my job is. There's things going on in the church today that the church is cheating on Jesus. We've turned to a man-made religion. We've tried to manipulate the Holy Spirit, and there's a passion and the zeal is gone. The day where you call for a prayer meeting and a church is filled and people are on their face crying out for God, you have to feed them. You have to have a chili feed or something to get people to come. I really believe. I wrote a book called Feast or Famine, A Prophecy to America, and in this book I said, you know, throughout the dealings of the children of Israel, you know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God never changes. And so we can go back and see how he handled some of these situations and say, listen, you know, if he is a father, if he is the perfect father, which he is, do you correct your children? And I think right now, before he's able to fix America, he has to fix the church.
Amen.
And that goes into I addressed how the children of Israel, they would always go into a pattern where they're passionate after God, then they would get lukewarm, and then they go after other gods, and then the punishment would happen, and then they would turn their faces toward God once again and pursue him wholeheartedly. So in my book, I talked about how, you know, I believe right now, I am not a doom and gloom person. I believe God is a good God. I believe that he's a good father. And I love the definition of grace and mercy. You know, mercy is giving us something that we don't deserve, and grace is withholding what we do, you know? And so, you know, I believe though that, for America to get turned around, for the church to get turned around, we have to passionately go after Jesus again. You know, I love studying the old moves of God, and I think that, and I've said this countless times, that we need to repair some altars. There's just some things that worked, and I think we need to get back to it. And we also need to destroy some high places that man has made we've thought that we're helping God out. So we have to destroy the high places of this, you know, thing that's going on, and we have to address ourselves first. You know, revival starts with one person. It doesn't start with a large group. It starts with one person. Revival is nothing but a understanding that God is ever present, and you change your behavior because of that. And then when you change, your house changes. When your house changes, your neighborhood changes. And when your neighborhood—I mean, it's a regional thing, not just happens in the four walls of a church. But I talk about how God—we're in a season right now where there's a remnant out there that's burning for Jesus, and those are the ones who are going to carry the anointing.
Amen.
And they're the ones who are going to go into places and regions and states and throughout the United States. They're the ones who's going to carry the anointing of God to break bondages and to destroy the works of the devil. But the church as a whole, God is withdrawing his presence. He's doing that so that they might understand that he's withdrawing himself so that they might passionately pursue him once again. You know, if you're in a place that's dry, dusty, and all you're getting is sugar-coated messages, or if your pastor is giving you nothing but, you know, feel-good messages, and you're leaving thinking that you're okay and everyone's okay and your sin is okay and that person's sin is okay, you might want to check yourself. Because God is going to be starting to withdraw himself. You know, the church pulpits don't need motivational speakers any longer. They need men and women of God that it's been anointed for such a time as this that has the power of God. When you preach the message, signs, wonders, and miracles will follow. If you're preaching and you're not seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, you might want to check what you're preaching.
Amen, so, brother. That's powerful.
That's in a
true.
Nutshell, you know, that's where I'm at. I love the bride. You know, I'm not a legalist. I'm not, you know, I just believe that we need to get back to what works. We're losing a generation to witchcraft and every sorts of nonsense because they're seeing power and Hollywood. You know, they're coming out with all these movies that show power and power because they know that people are hungry for that thing. And they said, well, if the church isn't going to give it to them, we'll give it to them in Hollywood. And that's they're making money off of that. But the authentic power should be in the church. You know, and we just have to pay the price to have it and carry the anointing, no matter what the cost is, so that we might be able to show forth a hurting and dying nation, a hurting and dying world, a lost generation, the power of God.
Wow. Let me ask you this, Mike. If you could say something to the pastors, I know I asked you to speak about the church, to the church out there, to the bride. What would you say to leaders today? Let's say something, one thing, three things. Whatever you feel led to share, what do they need to do to posture themselves for revival? As pastors, as leaders.
I would, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their evil, wicked ways, then I will hear them. I think it's time for us to get on our faces. You know, fasting.
Amen.
Fasting isn't talked about much anymore, and I'm not a believer that you fast to get the attention of God. We always have his attention. The problem is when we fast, we get our attention, and I believe that we need to do that. Pastors, my biggest thing is you need to tarry for the Holy Ghost. You need to make sure that you are not refabricating somebody else's message, but you get an authentic rhema word from God. Pastors, you must understand that when you stand before God, you are going to be held accountable for what you've done. You know, this isn't romper room. This isn't playtime. You know, you are responsible for the souls of the people that are in your pews. If you are allowing them to come in hungry and leave hungry, something's wrong. And, you know, there's nothing that we can do in ourselves that's worth anything. But when we're found in Christ and we have tarried for the anointing of the Holy Ghost and we have been given the power, the dunamis power that Acts 1:8 talks about, when you sit and you give a message, it's the power that convicts. It's the power that changes, you know. We had a saying at my church that love them where they're at. It's God's job. It's our job to love them. It's God's job to clean them. And we have to get back to the message of, you know, the word of God, the blood, the name of Jesus. You know, we're in a time of warfare right now, and we have a lot of pastors that are handing squirt guns out. That's not going to be effective in the time that we're in right now. So I would say my biggest thing right now is pastors, you know, when you stand before God, will there be blood on your hands, you know?
Right.
And when I was a pastor, that was my major concern. It's a big responsibility. It's huge. And you're not there to be their friend. You are not called to be their friend. You're called to be effective. You're called to declare the word of God. You're there to exhort, to build up, or to rebuke. You're there,
yeah.
You know, and we have to have a balance. We have to have a balance. And right now, everything is so lopsided and out of balance
Amen.
You know,
well,
we have to address.
That's right. That's powerful. What you're sharing, it needs to be heard. It needs to be said. There's a lot of shepherds out there that they love the Lord, but maybe whether it be lack of modeling, lack of instruction, lack of real relationships, they're not really feeding the sheep. They're not equipping the saints to do the work of the
mm-hmm.
ministry. It's become a career move.
Yes.
You know, just a platform to sustain a position rather than to release the people of God into destiny. But you have to have the heart of God, and that's what you're speaking. Have God's heart, seek God's heart, release God's heart. And there's real accountability in that. But real quick, Mike, before we're going to have you come back in just a minute and take the next 30 minutes to an hour, however long you want to take, and you're going to preach a message of whatever God's put on your heart. But before we do that, we're going to go to a quick commercial and then come back and hear the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go ahead and go to that commercial.
Vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communications can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen.
Well, we're back now with Mike Bell and Bell Ministries, and I'm just so happy that I just honor you, brother. I just love your heart. I just love who you are in the spirit. I really believe God is getting ready to elevate you into a whole new place in the spirit, in the calling, in the ministry that he has for you and through you. Amen. And there's a lot of divine connections coming together in this season, in this time in which God is raising up the next move, a new breed, a
Amen.
New generation of generals, of
mm-hmm.
leaders that are going to really come forth and bring forth that new wineskin, that reformation and revival, that combination, that culmination. And I believe you're one of those that God is bringing into the forefront in this season, in this time, as a voice that's going to shake nations. I'm just so excited to hear what God's put on your heart. So why don't you go ahead and you just let her rip, brother, and just share whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart. Amen?
Amen, amen. All right. I appreciate the opportunity. I thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, we're very honored to have you.
I'm excited. The vision I have is very simple. And people keep on saying in my services, they keep on saying, you know, wow, this is awesome. And we really have to step back and say, listen, there's nothing that really we can do that's going to be effective, because what you sow in the flesh, you reap in the flesh, but what you sow in the spirit will be eternal. And so, you know, just as long as we step out of the way and let him do what he needs to do, we're good. So, is it okay if I pray right before
Father,
I give the word? All right, Father God, I just pray right now in your name, Jesus. I pray that you would increase while I decrease. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you just go forth and just touch every single person, Father God, every single person that hears this message, Father God. I ask right now for fire.
Yeah.
Fire. right now, in Jesus' name. I ask, Father God, that you set them on fire for your glory, God. I ask right now, in Jesus' name, that blind eyes open, deaf ears hear. I ask right now, Father God, that signs, wonders, and miracles will follow this broadcast, and people will be delivered and set free, Father God. I take authority over the enemy right now, and I tell you right now, I take great pleasure in telling you to get out of our way, and we're going to put you under our feet. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you just speak through me, that you would pour out revelation knowledge, and we will be quick to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I was just going through and looking at a scripture, and it's one in Psalm 78:40-43. It says this, that they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, I'm sitting there thinking about that. How many times in our lives we tempt God, but then we limit him. We limit him by our expectations. We limit him thinking that he can't do it, or he won't do it because he doesn't love me, or I, you know, he's seen what I've done, and he won't do this. And many people, especially when it deals with healing, a lot of people go to the grave thinking that God will not heal them because they've done this, 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 and this, and not knowing that Jehovah Jireh, you know, that's not just a name, that's a characteristic of God. When God says, I'm Jehovah Jireh is a characteristic, which means he is healing. You can't come to God and not be healed, you know, and so we limit him. You know, or we limit our expectations. Oh, that was for, you know, 2,000 years ago. Signs, wonders, and miracles 2,000 years ago, but it's not for today. I'm here to say the devil's a liar. We have to take off these handcuffs that we place on God and say, listen, God, if you said it, that settles it. Let's do it. If you said that I can do this, then that settles it. God, I'm going to step out and do it. I call it light switch faith. You walk into a room, you pop the light on, and you know, you just expect the lights to come on. And that's how our faith is to be. If you find there's over 33,000 promises in the Word of God, and all of them are yay and amen. And so it's our responsibility to go through the scriptures, like Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. It's our job to go into the scriptures and say, listen, God, you said this. And I know that you're not a man that you should lie, or the son of man that you should repent. God, I know that the word says you hover over your word to perform it. And I know that your word will not return void, but it has to accomplish that thing which it was sent out to do. So in the name of Jesus, and stand on that promise. And too many times we limit him by not just not knowing his word, or not knowing his characteristic, or having a misconception of who God is. You know, you can say that God puts sickness on somebody to teach him a lesson. Well, that might be your God, but my God doesn't do that. You know, sickness comes from the enemy. Amen. So if you have a misconception that God puts things on people to teach them a lesson, then you will not have the confidence nor the boldness to step in front of that demon or devil and tell them to leave in Jesus' name, because you'll be afraid that I can't cast God out of God. You know, I can't do that. So we have misconceptions of who God is, and we've limited him in our services. We've limited him in our lives. We've limited him in our marriages. We've limited him, and especially in America, we said, you know, no, this is God, or this is God, and we've not allowed him to be God. You know, God is all-powerful. He's all-capable. He's sovereign. He's holy. He's majestic. He's perfect in every way. God is all-knowing and infinite. He knows no boundaries. You know, he is without measure. God is always with us. He's God all by himself. Amen? And so, we have to just stop limiting him and allow him to do what he wants to do through us. The problem is we need to get out of the way. And so that leads me to God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are no limits restricting him. He's limitless. Yet, with all that said, we tend to put our own limitations on God. Now, how do we do that? Well, it says in the scripture they forgot what he had done with them in the wilderness. Forgot.
Amen.
And so many times we tend to forget what God has done. It says they diminished their expectations of a limitless God. They did not remember his power. They did not remember his miraculous signs and wonders. In effect, they put their own limitations on God. And I think that's what the church is doing today. They're putting their own limitations on a limitless God. And it goes back to what I said with you. I think that we need to once again tarry for the Holy Spirit. We think that we can help God out with cute messages, or we think that we can help God out with cute little stories. There's a website out now that pastors go to, and they get little funny little stories to keep the people in the pews entertained. I'm just simple-minded, brother. I'm just simple-minded enough to think that Holy Spirit can draw.
That's right. Amen.
Is it Leonard? I think it was Leonard Ravenhill said, "You never have to advertise a fire."
Amen.
Amen. You never have to advertise a fire. Everyone knows that when there's a fire, and we need to stop limiting him and allow him to do what he's going to do, and we just need to get out of the way. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to get back to the basics. We need to stop limiting him, and we need to understand that if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he's God all by himself, and he doesn't need my help. So the children of Israel did the same thing. They forgot. And I think it's time for the church in America, not the church anywhere else, because, I was talking to a brother who's a missionary. He came here and he went to a conference. And after the conference was over, he looked at me and he says, what are you guys preaching? And I said, I don't understand your question. He goes, this is not the gospel that we preach. And it was kind of like a zinger. You're going, oh, Lord, what are you preaching? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there's 8-9-year-old kids raising the dead in Africa, and they just believe Jesus Christ. And we put our own limitations on him through our theologies and through our doctrines. And I think I told a college professor at a seminary just last week, I said, listen, I believe before you graduate from college at a seminary, there should be a class called Terry, where you don't leave or get your diploma until you get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because it's the Holy Ghost that draws. It's the Holy Ghost that convicts. It's the Holy Ghost that empowers. It's the Holy Ghost that heals. It's the Holy Ghost that delivers and sets free. It's the Holy Ghost who demolishes the works of the devil. It's the Holy Ghost. And it's time for us to release our thoughts and our actions and our theologies and move out of his way and allow him to move through us. So
Amen.
I believe that we're in a season where the church needs to dig up some wells.
Yes.
We need to dig deep and go after some of these places that our forefathers drank from. I talk about the men and women of old, like Amy Simple McPherson, Maurice Woodward Eder, you have A.A. Allen, Jack Coe, Branham, you have all these men and women of God. Oh, Wigglesworth, I love Wigglesworth. You have all these
Amen.
Men and women of God, and we want what they had, but we don't want to do what they did.
That's right.
We're in a society where we have fast food, and that's how we think that religion's got to be. God, give it to me now. Give it to me in this way, and I want this, and please withhold this.
Yep.
And he's up there flipping through his Bible saying, where in the world did I say that? You know, if you want, if you want the signs, wonders, and miracles to follow you, if you want the power of God residing in you, you need to deal with yourself. You need to get out of the way. There's just a lot of crazy stuff out there where, you know, you can name it and claim it, grab it and blab it, stand and confess it. But I'm here to say, until you cut it, you can't have it. You know, you just can't have it. And so we need to redig some wells and remember what God has done. Remember what God has done in the past, because nothing that has happened since now, since today, nothing has happened centuries ago, nothing has happened that is going to prepare us for what's coming our way. There is such a great revival that's going to come. There's an outpouring that's coming that I can't even wrap my mind around. We have people crying out for a double portion. We have people crying out for a revival. There's a remnant out there that's just sick and tired as church as usual. They want the power and demonstration of Holy Spirit. And they're going to bring in, they're going to usher in a move like we've never seen before. We're going to see radical. We're going to see radical salvations, radical deliverances. And think about this generation that's coming up. If you show them the real thing, they'll die for it. And that's what we have to do, brother. We have to pay the price to get the anointing, to deliver it, to transfer it over to them so that they might be able to carry forth that anointing into their homes, into their schools, into their neighborhoods. I'm here to tell you there is a harvest out there that the likes of no one has ever seen before. And it's our job to dig up the wells and get the places where people can come in and drink. Amen. You know, I keep on seeing in my spirit there's places in America that revival centers are going to be birthed in America, in certain states, and those are going to be the wells that people can draw from. You know, now, I'm not talking bad about the churches. There's churches out there, brother, that are preaching the word. You know, there's people out there who have paid the price. And so I don't want people to think that I'm bashing churches, but revival centers will bring in other men and women of God, other pastors, people who carry the anointing and fire of God, that will come in and just set just deliver the rhema word. And I really see in this season revival centers being birthed in the United States. But we have to have those wells. We have to have those wells. And we need to remember, too. Remember what God's done for us. Remember about his delivering and healing power in our own lives. We need to remember the call of God. I will just decree and declare right now, if there's anyone listening to this right now that feels like your ministry is over, I call you forth right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I said, no, your ministry will not die. It will live and declare the works of the Lord. You're not done yet. You need to get up, brush the, cowgirl up. You need to go out and do the thing that God has called you to do. And until your work on earth is finished, you're immortal. You need to start applying the blood of Jesus and move forward in your life. Amen? So we need to remember about the glory of God. You know, I've heard, what's sad is I'm in a generation that's never seen it. I've heard stories about it. You know, I've been in meetings where the power, I mean, God's powerful hand came down, but the place never shook. The city wasn't changed. The atmosphere wasn't changed. The nation did not turn, and that's what revivals do, is it turns and changes a nation for God, and we are ripe for revival right now. We are ripe for it, but we have to prepare. We have to dig the wells. We need to remember what worked, and we need to remember, what God called us to do as his children. We tend to limit, a limitless God, and we need to go back and do some of the first works that we did. It's time to release our faith and remember and take the limits off of God. You know, Genesis 26:15 through 19, I think it is, tells us that Isaac dug up the wells of water, which was dug up by his father. I think you have you know the story. Probably
yes.
People that are listening to this probably know the story. It's an interesting one. Isaac got into the land and decided, listen, you know, I need to get the wells. And so Genesis tells us that the Philistines came in as soon as Abraham was dead. The Philistines came in and stopped up the wells. And brother, can I tell you that some of our Pentecostal wells are stopped up?
Right.
You know, we have people out there that call themselves Pentecostal that I don't think understands what Pentecostal is. We have people out there who say that they're filled with the Holy Ghost, but yet they're cussing like a sailor and smoking their cigarettes and drinking their alcohol and doing their partying on Saturdays and coming in and talking in tongues on Sunday. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, what changed in my Bible? You know, and I'm not talking law. We have been delivered from the law. You know, we're under the grace of Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb. You know, but you know, when we stand before God, I don't think too many people understand that we're still going to be judged when we get to heaven.
That's right.
You know, they think that when we get to heaven, we're going to be floating on clouds, playing harps, and doing whatever. But my Bible tells me that when I get to heaven, I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ, and He's going to put my works out on the table, and it's going to and the works that I did for Him, He's going to try it with fire.
That's right.
My question is, do you have works for Him to try? You know, eternity is a mighty long time to stand with absolutely nothing to show for the blood of Jesus. The Bible says where much is given, much is required. And, you know,
right.
I can't think of something that's more powerful and more costly than the blood of Jesus. We've been given much, and much is required. And so it's time for us to find these wells. If it hadn't been for the wells that Isaac went and redug, they wouldn't have been able to survive. They'd have perished in the desert. And, you know, if we don't dig up some of these wells, I have a feeling that the church in America is going to perish. I fully believe that you know, there's a correction coming. I think it was David Wilkerson who said that God is about ready to put judgment on the church. You know, there's going to be some lampstands that's going to be removed because they put the wrong emphasis on the wrong thing. You know, I think it's the book of Haggai says that we built our own churches and we built our own places, but we've neglected the house of God.
That's right.
You know? And so we have to – we're responsible for digging these wells, not just for us, but for the generations to come. They need a place to drink. They need a place to get fed. They need a place to recoup. And that's one thing I love about your ministry, brother. You bring in the people that's been hurt in church. You bring in the people that people have discarded, and you put them underneath your wing, and you feed them, and you say, listen, no, you're not done. You know, this is not how religion. This is not how Christianity is. This is not how Jesus Christ would have done this. This is not how it is. And you don't put them under condemnation, you don't put them under law, but you love them and you speak life into them, and that's what we have to do. But until you have been drawing from your own well, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to have anything to give. Amen.
Right. Amen.
You know, Orl said one time in one of his letters to me, he goes, you know, if you do not feed yourself, and he was talking about having godly men and women around you. If you don't have people who feed you, eventually you will deplete and die. You'll have plenty of people feeding on you, but you have to have these wells in place where you can feed yourself, get nourishment for yourself, or you won't have anything to give anybody else. Amen?
Right.
So each generation must take the responsibility to redig these wells. You know, I'm going to read a couple of statements from people that have paid the price, you know, people that have gone on before us. They're in heaven now. These are generals of the faith. But I want to read some of these because this stirs me, brother. when I talk about the fire of the Holy Ghost and the power and demonstration of Holy Spirit, I just want to run out and do crazy things for Him, because you know, He's brought me from such a place, and you know, He looked over my shortcomings and He called me anyway. He knew the things that I was going to do for Him. He knew the good things, but He also knew some of the things that I was going to do in ministry that wasn't pleasing to Him. But yet He chose me anyway. Praise God for a loving and gracious Father that no matter what happens in our lives, He still says, nope, that's not caught me by surprise. I saw it, but yet I called you anyway. Amen. So we have some of these men and women of God that have gone on before us. Some of them have made mistakes, yes, but they have all had one thing in common. And let me read. A guy by the name F.B. Meyer. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he says this: the Pentecostal fullness, the endowment of power, the baptism of fire are all within our reach. Let us not be inspired with a holy ambition to get all that God will be willing to bestow upon us. He says, listen, we have to go and not just be happy with just a little bit. We have to get all that God has for us. How depressing it would be standing before God and saying, well, I thought I was going to have a little bit more time. and when I get to heaven, I don't know about you, brother, I think me and you are pretty much wired the same. When I get to heaven, it is going to be in a wasted body. It's going to be in a tore up. I'm going to be just on. It's going to be messed up. I'm going to skid in there. I'm going to jump out. My guns are going to be empty, and I'm going to lay everything at God's feet and say, woo, what a ride. I'm done. You know, I give you every single thing that you told me to do, Father God. I did it. You know, I was radically obedient to you, and I just did it. You know, some of these people that was predestined to go to hell, I saved them anyway, Father God. You know, I'm just so on fire for God. I just think that He wants all to be saved, you know. So, you know, we have to be we can be content with our salvation, but we cannot be content with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're to earnestly go after the best gifts. We're to go after them. And too many times we get complacent and we get settled into a place and say, okay, you know, I've got everything I need. No, you don't. You don't have everything that you need. You need to, I go into a church. This is, you're going to have to look over me on this one. Every church service I go into, whether I'm preaching at it or whether I'm just visiting a church or whether I'm, you know, at a conference, I sit back in the back and I look at every single person and I say, God, if they're not going to use their gift, give it to me tonight. You know, and I believe that there's anointings that we need to have on our lives so that we might go out and destroy the works of the devil, go back to the enemy's camp and take back what the devil has stolen. Amen. And a guy by the name of Charles Spurgeon, everyone knows him, he says this: let us not be satisfied with the sip that saves, but let us go into the baptism which buries the flesh and raises us into the likeness of the risen Lord. Even the baptism unto the Holy Ghost and into fire, which makes us spiritual and sets us all aflame with zeal for the glory of God. Woo! You know, he had it going on. He had it going on. And we have to get that zeal again. We have to get that holy ambition to carry the torch, to carry the anointing. And you know, I want to be contagious. I think every last one of us should be Holy Ghost arsonists. We should be setting fires everywhere we go. You know, Charles Spurgeon was good, but a guy by the name of Vance Havner, he said this: is there something lacking among Bible Christians today? If you are aware of it, I don't need to describe it. If you are not aware of it, you would not understand it even if I described it to you. You may call it the filling of the Spirit, full surrender, consecration, the victorious life, revival. Whatever it is, most of us do not have it. And we have to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way. You know, this is the way I explain it. You know, picture in your mind two full glasses of water. One of them is you, one of them is Holy Spirit. You know, now think to yourself, how can I get Holy Spirit in me if my glass is still full? No, you have to empty yourself. You have to empty that glass. And whatever you empty, he will fill. If you only empty a quarter of that glass, you will only have a quarter of the anointing of Holy Spirit upon your life. But, you know, I want to talk to the radical remnant that's out there that's willing to empty the whole glass out and say, not just to the top, Father God, but let it overflow, you know?
That's right.
D.L. Moody.
Right.
I love reading D.L. Moody's works. D.L. Moody said this, you might safely say, I think without exaggeration, that 19 out of 20 Christians have just got life and have settled down and have not sought for power. You know, we have to have this power. We have to have the Holy Spirit dunamis power in our lives, upon us and upon our ministries, if we are going to take this nation back. The devil has been busy. I'm not giving him credit, because I fully believe that that we can stop it. We can stop his advance, and we can start taking back some of the territories that we've given up through being complacent, through being silent. The church 50 years ago would have never been silent during this period of time, having a percent of the population, a small percent of 3% of the population, dictating our morals and our values. You know, that would never have happened with a Holy Spirit-inspired church full of dunamis power, you know. And I'm not talking about being mean-hearted and mean-spirited. Everything that we do is to be in love. We love the people. We hate the sin. Amen? But we have to be empowered in this time that we are in. We have to be empowered. You know, now, D.L. Moody rarely spoke about this, but in one of his books, he talks about an encounter that he had with God, a face-to-face encounter. And men and women of God, if God never changes, we see in the Word of God where countless times God went to somebody face-to-face and had a powwow. He even sat down and ate lunch with them. You know, you can have an encounter with God. You can have a faith. Don't limit God. Don't limit God.
That's
you don't have to wait to get to heaven to see him. You can bring him down here, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. You can have an encounter with God. D.L. Moody talked about this, and he says let me say it in his own words. He wrote this down, and it's just powerful. He says, I was not – whoop, just a second, I lost it right there. He says, I was not – in the heart of begging. I could not appeal. I was crying all the time. I was crying out for God to fill me with his Spirit. And I pray that anyone who's listening to this, I pray right now that you start getting a feeling inside of you that you want more. You know, I wake up every morning crying out for more. You know, I know that, Brian, I know you cry out for more. We have to be, we have to just, when we get out of bed, when we get into our prayer time, when we get into our worship, when we get into our studies, we just have to be crying out for more. And D.L. Moody says, I was crying out for more of God to fill me with his Spirit. Well, one day, one blessed day in New York City, oh, what a day that was. I cannot describe it. It was almost too sacred of an experience to name. Paul had such an experience of which he never spoke of for 14 years. I can only say that God revealed himself to me, and I have not such an experience of his love and his power that I asked him to stay just a little longer.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He said, after this experience, I started preaching again. The sermons were not different. He preached the same message. I did not preach new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience if you should give me the whole entire world. Hallelujah. You know, we have to get to that place where, you might offer me things, and I tell people all the time, you know, you can turn on the TV and hear somebody say, listen, give $39.95 and you'll get this blessing or that blessing. I differ with that. You can't buy the blessing of God. If you want to buy my anointing, you don't have enough money. You know, it's not for sale. It's not for sale, you know, but we get to a point where we would rather have his presence in our lives than anything that you would be tempted to have. You know, like Gehazi, he went after the physical things, and he lost his blessing. He lost that double portion off of Elisha because he went after the finances. I'm here to tell you, people, we need to get back to a hungry ambition for God and God alone. And no matter what you dangle in front of me, no matter what you dangle in front of anybody else, we're not going to budge. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to preach Jesus Christ, him crucified and him risen. We're going to preach Holy Spirit power. We're going to preach, you know, hell. We're going to preach heaven. We're going to preach the full gospel of what's written in the Word. And we're going to preach it, and you can't tell us what to preach. You can't tell us what not to preach because you don't pay our checks. God does.
That's right. Whew.
So
wow.
the enemy would love to deprive us and hinder us from these wells. You know, he would love for us not to get into these wells because he knows once we get into these wells, he's had it because we have the nourishment that we need from God. If we allow the devil, who walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, if we allow him, he will fill these wells with the cares of the world. You know, it's all about perspective. If you know that you are a child of the Most High God, that you can cry out, Abba, Father, and you can go boldly into his throne room, that changes things. No, you put your mind or your eyes on the things of this world, you can get highly depressed really quickly and fearful. But if your eyes are on God and his perspective and know that the battle's been fought and won and you're victorious and the finished work of the cross covers you, once you understand your authority and the delegated power that Jesus Christ gave you by using his name, the devil would be fearful. But we have to dig these wells up, dig these truths up, and understand that we have to walk in this truth. And so, you know, he would love to fill our wells up with the cares of the world. But Jesus is telling his church today that we must redig the wells of Pentecost. The wells that our forefathers drank from are just as life-giving today as they were back then. You know, sometimes the old things are good. You know, sometimes holiness worked. You know, again, I'm not talking works. I'm talking about an inner holiness, a conduct that you when people see you, they see Jesus. That's my goal. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see Jesus. I don't want them to hear me. I want them to hear Jesus. You know, I want them people just, I want sinners just to run around and be close to me just because they feel the love of Christ. And we have to get back to these wells. We have to get back to these things. God forbid we should let the enemy stop them up and keep us from them. You know, we are at risk of raising a generation that has not experienced the God of the Bible, the God of the Great Awakenings, the God of Stones Folly in Topeka, Kansas, the God of Azusa Street in California, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're raising a generation that doesn't know them. They don't know that God, you know. I believe there's still hope, you know. God is a merciful God. America still has hope. You know, we have not gotten to the bottom of the basement where we're in trouble and we just need to duck and cover. No, there is still hope. But church, we need to wake up. We need to go back and say, okay, you know, these are all things that are man-made. These are all things that we had tried to do to help God out. Maybe we should just trash all that and just wait for the Holy Spirit. Let's call a prayer meeting. Let's get into the presence of God through worship. Let's get into our Word and find out what he says to do, you know, instead of you know, everything else that's being thrown at us. You know, there's time. There's still time. You know, we must get serious once again. You know, I got into an argument. I'm going to confess to you, brother. I got into an argument with a pastor just yesterday, and he was telling me that I was being too critical. And I said, brother, I'm not being too critical. You know, when's the last time you saw a healing? You know, when's the last time you saw someone come to Christ? Now, when's the last time you had your church close the doors and actually go out into the community and show them the love of Christ? You know, do you have an active soul-winning program in your church where your church goes out and shows people the love of Christ? Because it's unbiblical for us to think that they're going to come into our services. You know, I think it was Ray Comfort said that, you know, expecting sinners to come into our church services is like the police expecting the criminals to come into the jails. You know, we have to, we really have to seek the heart of God. And like I said, you can do this the wrong way, in the wrong spirit, and without love, it's nothing but a clanging cymbal. But if you have the heart of God and the passion of God and the power of Holy Spirit in you, wanting to come out of you, and you don't restrict His work and activity, I'm talking about a powerful move of God that's going to shake this nation. We still got time, you know, but we must get serious again. We must pay the price, brother, you know. Before Oral Roberts prayed for me, he looked at me and he says, "Are you willing to pay the price?" That's and, you know, flippantly, you know, sometimes zeal speaks out my mouth before wisdom hits me, you know. And I said, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, I'm willing to pay the price. Yes, sir, yes, sir." But if if I'd have known some of the stuff that I had to go through, you know, I've been homeless in ministry. In ministry, I've been homeless. You know, in ministry, I've been without vehicles. In ministry, I've went without food. In ministry, you know, I've lost friends that I thought would be with me forever. You know, in ministry, I've been mocked and ridiculed, called names. In ministry, you know, I've suffered at the hands of people that I thought loved me. You know, you know, some of the biggest hurts that's come upon me has not been from the world and ugly, sinful people, but from the church people, And so, you know, we have to take off some of these rose-colored glasses and say, listen, I'm willing to pay the price, no matter what, God, no matter what, I'm going to pay the price, because this is nothing but a blip on the radar compared to what eternity is. And for your glory, God, whatever the case may be, whatever the trial, whatever the temptation, whatever is thrown my way, Father, God, I will pay the price. You know, we need to pay the price for this generation. We need to redig the wells of Pentecost. Whew. We need a Pentecost. We need an earth-shaking, Holy Ghost raising, you know, mountain-moving, giant-killing kind of a revival that people come in and they're delivered and set free and empowered and filled with the Holy Ghost and set on fire and then sent out to go and do the same thing that Jesus Christ did. We're to be as Christ on this earth. Will we raise a generation that has never experienced the power of God? You know, will we raise up a generation that hasn't experienced the moving and operation of the Holy Spirit? Will we raise up a generation that relies more on human abilities and talents? You know, will we raise up a generation, you know, that doesn't believe that the God of the Bible still exists today? Will we raise up a generation? Or are we just going to just, sit by and stick our heads in the sand and just let them die and go to hell? You know, are we going to raise up a generation that relies more on human abilities and talents and entertainment, money, conferences, the latest book, than the anointing of Holy Spirit? Let me tell you one thing. Signs, wonders, and miracles should be following you. You should not be chasing it.
Amen.
You know, that's right. When I was in a plane flying to Newport Beach, California, where Oral was living, and when I was flying there, I was so on fire and excited. Oh, my Lord, Oral's going to lay his hands on me, and I'm going to get an impartation, and I was all excited, and I got that little check in my spirit, and I heard God's voice say, Mike, if you was this excited and this expectant, you know, when you were in the house of God on Sunday, I'd have gave it to you then. Because we think that we have to chase the person or chase the ministry or chase the man and woman. You know, some of these people that are on our TVs and some of these people that are having these huge conferences, you know, we have to check their spirit, because are they in it for God or are they in it for themselves? We have to see, you know, what exactly are we following? Are we following man or are we following God? You know,
that's right.
And I've said this, I think it was to you, but, you know, as an evangelist, it seems like, you know, the devil's really trying to kill that office. I really believe, you know, the prophet and as well, but, you know, the devil is really busy on trying to quench the offices that's been given to the church as a gift. You know, we have pastors that call other pastors to preach behind the pulpits, but neglect the office of the evangelist. We have a lot of things going on, and as an evangelist, if you don't have the right name or the right friends, you're never invited. You know,
that's right.
And so we have to understand that some of these names or some of these people haven't paid the price. And if you want a good meeting, yeah, they might be able to give you a good meeting, and there might be emotionalism going on, but have they paid the price for the message that they're about ready to preach? You know, are we going to raise up a generation that's never heard a preacher mention sin, repentance, holiness, or hell? You know, I think it's time for us to redig some wells. You know, where we raise up a generation that thinks revival is loud music, packed auditoriums, smoke machines, colored lights, and excessive emotionalism. You know, when we raise up a generation that does not know how to touch the throne of God or the hem of his garment, are we going to raise up a generation that does not know how to worship God in spirit and in truth? Church, I think it's time to realize how far we have fallen. You know, we used to be called holy rollers. We used to be called, you know, Pentecostal people that carried the anointing of God. But truly, are we truly, truly anointed of God? You know, have we paid the price? We have to pay the price. We have to redig the wells. You know, let's all seek a higher level with God. You know, let's not be happy with normal church services, with normal Christian lives. And you know, I want to be called radical. You know, when I go into a city or when I go into a church, I want people to look at me and say, man, you know, everywhere he goes, he just ruffles the devil. He just, you know, he turns the world upside down. You know, and I think it's time for us to take pride in having that kind of a reputation. You know, it's time for us to pay the price. And you know, the Bible says that, you know, we shouldn't be happy with normal, but let us hunger and thirst and seek, knock, ask, and cry out for more of him. Because when he comes, everything else leaves. You know,
right.
One encounter with God changes everything.
Right.
And it's time for us to just go after him wholeheartedly and passionately once again. You know, there's still time. And I believe, brother, I believe that everywhere we go, and I'll just speak this prophetically over your ministry, everywhere you go, you are going to see God shake that place. You're going to see people's lives changed. You're going to see people set on fire. You know, I had something said to me. I was at a revival conference in Branson, and I had a man come up to me. He says, brother, I have been in ministry longer than you've been alive, and I thought that I was on fire. I really thought I was on fire. But he said, brother, while you were preaching, something just stirred inside of me, and I started feeling the fire of God. And I started feeling the coals being shifted and moved around. And he goes, brother, you know, I'm ready to go out. He was considering retirement, but he says, brother, I'm ready now, you know. And we have to stir the flame. We have to be ministers of fire once again. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm done. I'm just
excited. That is powerful, brother. You are on fire, and I'm getting more fired up the more I'm sitting here listening. I know all of those that are listening right now to this message are on fire too, and are getting stoked. I mean, you're a fire starter, a fire carrier, you know. And I want to go back to what you had shared earlier about the evangelist for just a second here. You know, you had talked about, you know, the evangelists, you know, when they're not really, the pastors aren't inviting them in as much as pastors are swapping pastors in the pulpit.
Right.
And there's a lot going on of cliques and politics in the church to where, and I did a post on this on Facebook not long ago about, you know, swapping our little groupies of just the people where we just kind of stuck with the same speakers passing through our ministries instead of opening up for the next breed and opening up for the new sound and the new blood that's coming out,
right.
You know, and coming
right.
forth. And one of the things that the Lord showed me some years ago is that, you know, in the church, the evangelist is the prophet, and outside the church, he saves souls. but in the church, he's a prophet. And so when the evangelist is sent to the body of Christ, he's sent there in a prophetic flow, a flow of repentance, a flow of bringing them into their next level, while the prophet in the church is the evangelist. Okay,
wow.
But outside the church, he's the prophet. And I think there's been some reversal today what we've seen inside of church walls. See, we practice the gifts inside the church walls. And I think the reason why a lot of the church doesn't go to the streets with what they're doing behind closed doors is because they see areas in which they're still watered down. And they see areas in which they're not accurate. And so it puts a fear in them that says, well, I got to practice longer within the four walls so I can get this thing down before I go outside the four walls. But see, God has made sure that the gifts will stay watered down within the four walls because they were never meant to be in the four walls.
Exactly.
You see, they were meant to be outside the four walls because, you see, I believe it's in Ezekiel 47 that the river flowed out from underneath the door of the temple. And the further you get away from the temple, the deeper the water gets, which shows us that Jesus never did miracles even with the disciples. He didn't do miracles behind closed doors. He did it outside the church. That's where the kingdom manifested. And, you know, in the church, you're a prophet. And right now you're prophesying because right now you're ministering a lot to revivalists and to leaders and to pastors right now, you know, and there are many that are listening to this broadcast that are revivalists and they've been in the ministry and they're coming up into the ministry and you're moving in a real strong prophetic mantle today that is cutting like a sword and bringing and rightly dividing the word of truth and just, you know, it's time for us to circumcise our hearts again and allow the Lord to peel back every facade and every compromise that that especially as leaders, I think a lot of times pastors, leaders, revivalists, we can get in a mode where we go into automatic mode, we can lose God in the midst of serving God. And we can lose that passionate connection with the Lord and that urgency for holiness, for souls, for restoration in the body. And I'm telling you, God is raising you up to bring that back in as a catalyst, as a fire starter, as a lightning rod, as a voice that will shake people into alignment. Because one of the things that I think people need to understand, especially pastors, and I totally see where you're at because, you and I are very much wired alike, and we have a very strong connection in the spirit, especially in the area of reformation. And you're a reformer. You're an evangelist, but you're a reformer. And when God raises up reformers, they can appear to be critical.
Yeah.
But it's not that they're critical from a place of lashing out of judgment or woundedness. Their criticalness is really a place in which God has brought a demarcation line, a dividing line, to really bring a separation between that which is of God and that which isn't. And, you know, Jesus himself did that with the Pharisees. And, and so, you know, people need to understand this, that you're not critical. You're bringing truth and it's cutting through. And, and sometimes that's hard for people that have settled into areas they just lost their way or lost their fire, their inspiration.
Right.
But you're an inspiration in my life, and I really appreciate you. I appreciate your ministry, and you just blow me away. I mean, I'm just in awe at what the Spirit of the Lord is doing, and I'm just so thankful for this connection. And you know, because we're running out of time here, but before we go, I want to pray, and we're going to pray right now for you, for your ministry, and then we're going to pray for those that are listening. Amen. And
Amen.
So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, we're praying right now for our brother, for Mike, Father, for Mike Bell, for Bell Ministries, Lord, for his family, Lord, that, Lord, right now that you will pour out upon him, Lord, and all those connected to him, Father. I thank you that you are pouring out upon him the favor, the grace, Lord, the blessing, the unction, that you are opening the doors, Father, for this man of God to preach, Father, to bring what you have put in his life to bring forth. Father, I thank you for his children. I thank you for his marriage. I thank you, Lord, that you surround them with a wall of fire. I thank you, Father God, that they are set apart for the purpose of what you have called them to be. I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing other men and women of God into their lives to surround them, Father God, to be pillars around them, to cover them, Lord, to speak encouragement and into them. Father, I just thank you for this man of God and his family. I thank you for this ministry, Lord. And we just ask that you would rain abundance over him, Lord. We speak strategies. We speak your resources, strengths, and the tools that he will need to accomplish the mission you have supplied for him to do. Father, we support our brother, and we thank you, Lord, for downloading the mission that you have called him to do and be into him, Father. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for him being on this broadcast today and for the acceleration in his ministry and vision. Increase the prophetic, increase dreams, visions, downloads from heaven, increase his finances to be able to accomplish all, Lord, that you have called him to do, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against him shall prosper in Jesus' mighty name, and we give you all the glory for it. Now, brother, could you pray right now for those listening and just begin to release whatever God's put on your heart?
Father God, I just pray right now that for the pastor, Father God, that's wants to quit. God, that's been out there, just out there by himself, and he feels like he's all alone, Father God. I just ask right now that you just pour out your spirit upon him. Jesus, you are the baptizer of the Holy Spirit and fire. And I ask that you surround the pastor, Father God. I feel sorry for the pastors nowadays that stand for righteousness and holiness, Father God. People don't want to hear the truth any longer, so they leave those churches and it leaves those pastors and their finances in all array, Father. God, I ask right now for your faithful that have been out there doing the work as a pastor, God. I ask right now that you just pour out your favor upon them. I ask that you pour your grace upon them. I ask right now for a restoration, that new zeal to come upon them in boldness, Father God, that you open their eyes to let them see what their next move is, Father God. I speak peace into their storms in Jesus' name. Now, God, I just ask right now, Father, you're such a good God, and you are the God of first, second, and third, and 5,000 chances, God. For those that are listening that feel like they've been discarded and they've had one too many mistakes to be used in the ministry, Father God, I ask that they have their eyes opened to the inheritance that they received through Jesus Christ, God. I ask that they see and hear your heart, God, that you are not a God that aborts his children, but you are a God that holds them in your arms, and you just declare righteousness over them because they have been born into the family of God. I ask right now for those who are listening that have an infirmity or a sickness or a cancer, whatever the case may be, I take authority over that thing right now in Jesus' name. Whatever the case may be, if you have a problem in your body, put your hand on it, and I declare the word of God that by the stripes of Jesus' back, you are healed. I command healing to enter your body right now in Jesus' mighty name. I cancel your assignment. I cut you at your root, and I command you right now in Jesus' name to loose them and let them be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen.
Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for being our guest today. And we're believing God for great things to come out of your vision. And thank you so much for imparting into the bride today. God bless you. Mike Bell, everyone.